Old movies now.
Yeah. Should go downtown and have a rat gnaw that thing off your boob.
Oh. I had no idea. Has she just cleverly hidden it all these years?
Julia Roberts has what appears to be an enormous mole on one of her bosoms. I mean, that's huge. That's like... Oh, that's massive. Are you sure that's not a... something stuck to the camera? You're sure that's attached to her breast?
That looks like a brown third nipple.
All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. We'll also talk to Peter Carlin. I'll give away a pair of those Al Gore tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming presentation. We'll do a little pop culture face-off. We're going to try to get to this terrible country song. When we last left the Rick Emerson show, we still haven't talked about the storm thing on Friday. We got maybe later on with a little recap of that. When we last left the Rick Emerson show, we were talking about this really bizarre story that came out of Wisconsin. It's Madison, where the UW-Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, has put its marching band, a marching band, on probation for things that were apparently so vile and hideous that they couldn't even be revealed to the media. And now, with the rest of the story, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The University of Wisconsin has new details on its marching band probation. UW-Madison Chancellor John Wiley said a band member was pressured into shaving his head in a hazing incident. Other members danced semi-nude during the band's September 23rd University of Michigan football
show. They chanted with spears and covered themselves in pig's blood.
Now, that was the latest one.
However, give me the conch!
There's another list of other behaviors attributed to band members in the past, including... There's a laundry list of these things. Female members being forced to kiss each other to gain entry to bus bathrooms. Women being forced to draw pornographic pictures for more senior band members and read explicit accounts of their sexual preferences composed by others.
These are college kids or high school kids? High school. This is University of Wisconsin, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. College.
Seriously, how... Okay, look, I don't mean to stereotype because I was nobody's idea of cool in high school. I didn't go to college, but I was nobody's idea of a hipster. But seriously, how lame are you when you're using your power to make women draw pictures of penises for you? I want to go to the bathroom. Draw me a picture of some boobs. Fine, make them bigger! Here you go. Okay, now you can use the bathroom. Really, that just...
After you kiss Susie.
Surely, it does raise pathetic to a whole new level.
Let's see here. A female member was told to suck on a sex toy as part of a hazing incident. Younger band members receiving demeaning and abusive demands to run errands and refill beer cups for older members. Upperclassmen supplying freshman women with alcohol and demanding they join in the drinking... The behavior is so notorious, the athletic department set aside money so the cheerleaders and the dance squad can travel in separate buses to avoid harassment. Let's see here. We had multiple reports of highly sexualized banter taking place that made several women in particular feel quite uncomfortable. We had dancing and disrobing taking place that made people feel not only uncomfortable but unsafe. It's not known if the dancers are male or female. The head-shaving incident was reported by a faculty member who believed the individual would have preferred to keep his hair.
Wouldn't we all? Younger, let's see, we got this. This is from the same article, I believe. Mm-hmm. Rick, don't forget that younger band members were made to refill beer cups for older members and made to drink urine-infused beer. There you go. There, good times. Fantastic. Good God Almighty. So there you go. So these are your band dollars are being well. You know, there's something really weird about, and look, I don't mean to knock anybody because I was in the drama club, but there's nobody's idea of normalcy in the drama club. But band people are always, they're just a little odd. There's just something, I mean, there's something just a little skewed about people in the band department. There always has been. All right. So this is, all right. Yeah, there you go. All right. We've got the Cecil. You're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I was expecting nudity after all. Didn't Tim say we were having nudie tales?
Uh, Okay, thank you. See, sometimes you don't even have to use the phone drop. Sometimes they just sort of say the joke, and then once it's out there in front of them, they sort of realize how poorly it's gone, and then the whole thing kind of works itself out. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Thanksgiving may be more than a month away, but there's already incredible concern over the nation's turkey supply. Officials say low inventories and high summer temperatures nationwide have made turkeys thinner, lower quality, and harder to chew. Many turkey farms in the Midwest.
Is that really a problem people have?
I suppose if you do eat turkey. But retailers and meat distributors say it'll affect every grocery store chain in the nation. In Oregon, some retailers say they're already expecting limited turkey selection this holiday. Okay. And the turkey prices will increase, and the turkeys themselves will be skinnier.
Yeah. How crappy for the turkey. Seriously. You spend your whole year starving just to be killed and eaten.
Yeah, so at least you get beheaded at the end of it all. Good God. All right. Yeah, harder to chew, kids. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, let's talk real briefly about the storm thing. You went to see Storm on Friday.
That I did.
All right. Was it fantastic? Was it flawless? Was it exceptional?
It was very, very good. It was awesome. And her dress was really rad because she's wearing like this sparkly kind of see-through dress with a black thong.
Yeah.
You would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, good times. And so now, where was Lady like in the performance?
Toward the very end.
Really? Was it? Well, I mean, you've got to know that that's the one that everybody kind of knows right now. Who was the opening band? Do we know who that was?
Yeah, Cleveland opened.
Oh, really? Really? Because I got a text message like, you will like the opening band. They're gothy and the chick has big cans or whatever. So Cleveland is great, man. I dig Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is our friend Stephanie from Dante's. Fronts Cleveland, and and it's not a knock. I'm just going to say that I heard Cleveland on CD, and the CD just doesn't really capture. It sounds like such a cliche to see, you got to see them live, but I mean the CD doesn't really capture how great they are. But goddamn, those guys are really, really great. So anyway, but I got a whole bunch of pictures sent from people who were at the Storm show, and it apparently was just a really, really fantastic gig. So we're going to get those posted. And do we know if they're? Do we know if they were? Didn't Storm say they were doing another one at the Crystal? She say that when she was on last week?
Yeah, for some rock star promotion.
All right, so
Rockstar the drink, not the show.
Oh, not for the actual Rockstar beverage? Well, because when she went to audition for Rockstar Supernova, she initially thought it was for the beverage. She thought it was for the Rockstar drink, and it wasn't until she got to L.A. that she found out that it was for the Rockstar show. So anyway, is it getting hot in here again?
No, the temperature's at 69.
All right. I just have no... This is just a whole lot of temperature
weirdness.
You're
just weirdness. A little flaily. It's okay.
And I'm on drugs still, kind of. So, all right. It's 503-733-2970.
Why don't we play that terrible song?
I'm going to play the song here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the song here. Then we will have Jim Roop, who's going to come on from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Then we will give away these tickets to the Al Gore global warming presentation. We'll do a pop culture... What was that?
Nothing.
Just giving me the exciting thumbs up.
I just want you to see this video. It is, like, you thought the song was bad. Wait until you see the accompanying video.
All right, here's the thing. So, we work next door, as you know, to Couple, which is a country station, 98.7, you know, and I am not necessarily a fan of most modern country. Every now and again, I hear a song that I kind of like. There's that guy, Josh Turner, that's out now that I dig most of his stuff. And even that... Look, even the other songs by this guy, which is the honky tonk badonka donk, is like Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. No matter how great the song is, you can't bring yourself as a grown man to say it. It makes you sound like a gibbering retard. And then he has this other song called Swing, which is not to be confused with the embarrassing John Anderson song of many years ago. Okay, he's got this new single out, and I heard it in the bathroom.
It's not new,
Isn't this new? Is this not his new one?
No.
How is it that I've successfully avoided hearing this song?
Because I haven't had cable in like a year.
God.
I remember watching this like a couple years ago.
Oh, God. So the fact that it's being played now, it must mean that it was some massive... It was a hit of some kind.
It was huge.
Well, see, but it must have been when I was off the air, because when we were unemployed, it's like, where would I ever have heard it? So I was in the bathroom just now, and I heard this song that... Look, I know that rednecks have feelings, too, and so forth, and that everybody needs somebody to love, and so forth. But this song, it's like that song by Josh Turner that's out of that Your Man, where he's all, lock the door and turn the latch down low. Have you heard that? You know that one?
Yes, I've heard it in the bathroom.
It's like some big, beery, like, and you just like, all I picture is just some guy with a gut and he's got like bad Heineken on his breath coming in and like you're asleep and the door opens. And it's... You know, and it's your old man coming home late at night. No, I like his other songs, but that song is horrifying to me because there is nothing more repellent than the idea of a big, like, bristly, bearded, overweight redneck with beer on his breath coming home late at night looking for love. That's just the worst thing, and it's the stale breath on the side of your face as one hand is groping you.
This guy wins because he has, like, the most horrible ponytail I've ever seen.
Okay, and so the name of this song is, I swear to God, it's called One Hot Mama. M-A-M-A. And I got a whole thing about that, too. There's just there's something weird about referring to a person you are having sex with as mama. And that seems to be either a hippie thing or like a 70s thing. It's like talking about my old man. Yeah, my old man and I are going to go home and have sex. Well, okay, great. Good, great. Bully for you. So let me just play. This is Trace Atkins on an ad hoc installment of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard.
Watching the video?
I am. Oh, it's a MILF. Oh, and he's balding with a ponytail.
Get in them old jeans. You want that body back. You had it 17. Baby, don't get down. Don't you worry about a thing. The way you fill them out, hey, that's all right with me. I don't want the girl you used to be. And if you ain't noticed, the kids are fast asleep in your...
Why is she running around and he's just standing there drinking a beer?
God, okay, but see, you're missing the worst part. That when he rhymes your one hot mama with let's turn it on and turn this room into a sauna. Wait, let's hear that. One hot mama, I get it, because she's a MILF. All right, see, so that's the I love you stretch marks and all. I love you.
I know.
Hey, that's all right with me.
Frustrating me is that he's just sitting around staring at her as she's dropping the groceries and chasing the kids around.
Seriously, she's like doing the housework and he's sitting there greasing his ponytail and thinking about how he wants to give her the Wenatchee banana later on. And here's my thing, why is this so... I'm trying to put my finger on why it's so horrifying to me. There is something that's especially...
It sounds almost like an underhanded compliment, the entire song does. He's like, well, because you're filling out your jeans a little bit more, you don't have the body that you have at 17, I still love you anyway.
I'm willing to prop up your self-esteem by having sexual intercourse
even
with you.
Even though the car's full of kids and groceries, I still think you're doable.
As long as you put out, everything's going to be fine. I'm just saying, I guess my thing, though, is... I'm talking about the country, like that Your Man song by Josh Turner is another one where, and again, I don't dislike that guy. There is something about country guys talking in very plain spoken language how they want to have sex with you that I find just really, really terribly off-putting. And it's not like I'm a prude, doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying that I
think there's a breakdown part up there.
Oh. And again, referring to her as mama is just... Oh, that's disturbing. A bunch of... This is her correcting the children at the table.
I think once again, she rips open her shirt.
I think it's hot when you beat the children with a yardstick, honey.
That was pornographic.
He's making sex face. He's making the sex face while he's singing. Oh, that's okay. And of course, it's a brass pole in the bedroom. Okay, I can't take that anymore.
She looks like a porn star.
Seriously. All right. So there
so
you
that's,
go.
That's awful.
I know, and so that's what I did, and I was under the impression it was a new song, so that's actually what I heard in the bathroom about half an hour ago, and I went into jumping.
That's how we know all of our country music is just being in the bathroom.
I was, and I said, hey, you know that Trace Atkins song, that One Hot Mom, and he goes, he looked at me, he goes, yeah, and I go, do you mind if I talk about that a little bit, and he goes, you hate it, don't you, and I was like, well, I suppose, yes, I do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Howdy. Good morning.
Oh, good God almighty. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
How's life in Southern California, my friend?
You know, it could be worse.
It could be worse. Hey, you know, let's talk about our good friend Gary Baumgarten.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah,
huh?
Gary Baumgarten leaving us and going away.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, he's been with CNN Radio for about 10 years.
Yes, so he's been, I mean, so what, is there like a line of succession or something that it happens at CNN, or is it like they just stick an ad in the back of R&R and try to get some gullible college kid in there?
I don't know. I know they have, I've seen postings for correspondent for New York.
And so is
we're looking for one in Los Angeles. I mean, in Atlanta also.
We were talking to this. He's counting down until like what are the 26th or whatever. So
I haven't talked with him. What do you know about this gig he has?
Well, it's funny because we talked with Lisa Goddard this morning, and she's like, hey, a little inside information. You got to know Gary Baumgarten's taking off, and so we actually had Baumgarten on today, and Lisa. And I was supposed to say this. So Lisa actually called back to listen on hold because she wanted to know the deal. And I guess he hadn't really told anybody.
No, he's not told anyone.
Yeah. And so Lisa actually called up and listened on hold as we talked to him. And apparently he is going to be the news organization for some. It's one of those things that's hard for me to describe because the internet is so confusing. I never know what anything actually is. He was talking about some online virtual community, blah, blah, blah. Where people get together and talk and discuss issues, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I just don't really understand what that means. So he's going to be leaving, and he's going to be overseeing. I think he's going to be doing a one-hour weekly talk show on whatever this internet community thing is.
Wow, that's it?
I'm not trying to paint it in an incorrect light. I was just, and I didn't want to look dumb by continually probing him as to what the job actually is. I just don't really know.
Well, when I got the news, I sent him an email saying, wow, Gary, I'm shocked. Hope this is a good move for you. I know you wouldn't do something that, you know, wouldn't be smart. And he goes, hey, thanks. That was it.
Yes.
So I don't think he wants to talk about it.
No, I did ask him to describe, knowing he didn't know that Lisa was on hold, but I said, Gary, you know, in a few moments we've got left today, how would you, you've worked with these people at CNN, you had a camaraderie, a team for a long time, how would you describe them all? What adjectives would you use? And he spoke especially glowingly of you and McCarthy, by the way.
Oh, it's very nice.
So he said that when the chips were down, you were his man, you know, that you were the guy who would get the job done. Jim Rupp. So,
nice.
So there you go. Hey, let's talk about Hawaii. Is it? I mean, I was in Seattle this weekend, drugged out of my mind on Valium for a couple of days, and which is a fantastic way to spend your time. I highly encourage it. But as a result, I didn't really know anything that was going on in the world because I would just sit there and stare at the television, unaware of whether it was turned on or not. And no, it's completely true. And as I was saying earlier, I just had the Pink Floyd piped into my headphones and just a big bottle of Vicodin on one side and a bottle of Valium on the other. And that's how I spent my days.
There you are.
But apparently something happened to Hawaii where no one has any power.
Earthquake.
So this.
It wasn't a very big one.
But I mean, it's like, but now when they say half the island, first of all, which island? And secondly, is that.
Big island.
Is that a dumb question? Is that even a lot? Is that a lot of people?
Well, I don't know. It was on the Kona coast. That west coast of it's pretty much a tourist spot. So, no, I mean, there was no major injuries, no fatalities. Yeah, a lot of buildings and stuff had some damage, but, you know, it was even though it was a 6.6, the epicenter was out in the water, out in the ocean. So,
right.
And it wasn't strong enough to create a tsunami of any kind. So it was about like the Northridge earthquake, a little weaker than the Northridge earthquake here in 1994.
Right.
You know, but this one caused more damage because it was under the San Fernando Valley, not the ocean.
And so, I mean, this is a dumb question, but I mean, you're an island, you're surrounded by, you know, water, so you gotta be, I mean, on some level, they gotta always be preparing for stuff like
this.
Well,
yeah, I mean, earthquake's not uncommon. I'm not making light of the earthquake.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure it was scary and dangerous and, you know, people who suffered damage or injury, you know, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they suffer earthquakes like Southern California does. This is the West, and so they do have earthquake drills, and they prepare and things like that. So it's not uncommon at all, although they haven't had one this big in 20 years.
All right. So it's and is it any idea when things are going to be restored?
I'm guessing by now things got to be up. I mean, things were rocking pretty well. I mean, they were not rocking, and the power was being restored yesterday even. So I would imagine a lot of it will be done today. I would assume that flights from Honolulu Airport will be leaving today, if not first thing in the morning. Folks who want to go there, outgoing flights, people, they are leaving the airport, but they're not. No flights are going in just yet, and possibly later today, maybe tomorrow. But for being a 6.6 earthquake, it hasn't done that much. Hasn't been that disruptive.
All right, there. Hey, as a real quick side note here, before we go, obviously we get closer to the election, we're going to talk more about this. But if you, I mean, you're living in California, you've got to notice a weird thing we were talking about on Friday, or on Thursday rather, which is where Schwarzenegger, who is, once was so hard to the right, or seemingly such a Republican, allied himself so close with George W. Bush. He knows at every turn now, that's a guy who opens his mouth and does everything he can to just push himself further and further away from the White House. He's a guy who's, I mean, he's the last few weeks, he's all but become a Democrat.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but he sort of, when Schwarzenegger was campaigning, George Bush was at an all-time high after 9/11.
Sure.
So he sort of needed George Bush in a state where Republicans normally don't do that well,
right,
in his popularity to help him get that governor's spot, and it kind of worked. And now that the president's numbers are low, Schwarzenegger's kind of jumping ship, which, in my opinion, is kind of bad form. But he's got to do what he's got to do to keep his gig.
Well, and he's a guy who knows how to read the people. I mean, that's the one thing you can say about him. That's the one political skill that he has in abundance. He can read the populace.
He's always been good, too. He's sort of a middle-of-the-road Republican. He's almost a Republicrat, you know. He has that affection toward Democrats because that's what his whole family is on his wife's side.
Sure.
And he really likes to work at both sides of the aisle. And because he's smart about that, he says, you know what, some of these issues, you got to forget the party and deal with what's right. And he's been very good at being the diplomat in that.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, the phrase of the day is Wenatchee Banana.
Yeah, I heard you mention that when I was on hold listening.
We're passing that phrase along.
I almost peed my pants. That was so fun.
Well, now, here's the thing. It has no definition as of yet. Feel free to apply whatever mental definition you would like to
that. I've already done that. Based on the context in which you gave that line.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Quickly, Melanie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, well, my daughter's in high school, and her volleyball team, for a couple seasons now, so it's not a new song, one of their favorite things to do is they get dressed up all hideously.
Oh, God.
And they act out that song.
Oh, the One Hot Mama song?
It's one of their favorite activities. In fact, the end of the season night is, I think, this Thursday, and they'll probably perform that for us.
And this is, and how old is she? She's in high school?
High school, yeah, senior.
Does that unnerve you?
I just think they're very clever. See, they caught the hilarity way before you, because they've been doing it a few seasons, 17, 18-year-olds.
I'm just saying, I mean, I suppose it's sort of inadvertently, I just find the whole song is really creepy. And
well, it creeps them out, because they're acting out, you know, they know it's directed at their mothers and fathers.
That's a really bizarre thought, actually, that your daughter is acting out a dance routine that is all about you and your husband getting it on.
Well, it's hideous. They'll stuff their pants to make their butts look real big. And, and
that's sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
I think that's cute.
No, it's, I suppose, except until you realize it. I mean, I'm not speaking about you personally, but I'm just saying in general that that's, that you then realize that that is how your high school-age daughters view people of your slash our age.
They're clever. They're funny.
All right. Thank you, Melanie. All right. And she's gone inexplicably.
Huh.
All right. Let's break. We'll come back. Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Kristen from accounting has a little bit to say about the storm show. And we'll give away a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming Presentation. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to take your chance at scoring a pair of those Al Gore tickets, you do a pop culture face-off. I will take caller number 5 right now for that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Pop culture face-off for those Al Gore tickets. Tim Riley, Peter Carlin around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson, the radio program. Don't forget Tom Likas live in town here, Portland, Oregon, November 2nd and 3rd. November 2nd, he'll be at CBS Studios. November 3rd at Barracuda downtown. So we're listening for details on that. 503-733-2970. Likas at 3, Don and Mike at 7. 503-733-2970. Is this Chuck I'm taking here? All right. Hello, Chuck.
How you doing, Rick?
How are you, sir?
Oh, not bad.
All right, my friend, we are giving away a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming Presentation. And here's the thing about it is, whether or not you care about global warming, you can say you were there to see his bid for re-election, or his bid for election anyway, in 2008, which is clearly is a warm-up for. So here's how we're going to do it. Tim Riley will administer 3 pop culture-oriented questions. The person who knows the answer first simply says their name. So if you know it, you say Chuck. If I know it, I say Rick. If you can win the best of 3, you score yourself the tickets. Are you clear on that, Chuck?
Yes.
All right. Let's ask Tim, if you want to give us a sample question here, just so Chuck and I can warm up.
What former ER actor played the title role in Batman after Val Kilmer?
Yes. That'd be George Clooney.
That's correct.
All right, see? So here, okay, so what's going to happen here is that you're going to lose, Chuck. But that's okay.
Oh,
I don't want
don't
you to
be a jerk.
No, I'm just saying. I don't want to feel bad about it. No, in fact, here's the thing. I will up the stakes, Chuck. I will up the stake. No. I'm just saying because I realize that my pop culture knowledge looms over you like. What's that? Dude, I'm just saying. Here's how we can do it. Here we can do it where I actually in. Is he gone?
I think he just wanted Likas tickets.
Ah.
And he probably didn't understand what you were doing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
that's free.
I thought it was made clear.
Seriously. Therefore, we move on to Justin. Justin? Hello? This is the phone's doing that thing again. All right.
Damn it.
Oh, for the love of... Oh, it's doing that thing where they're there and then they can't hear us. Ah, best day ever. Let's move along to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Will we get to start now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An NYPD officer is under arrest in Staten Island for sending his former girlfriend, herself a cop, pornography, sexy lingerie, and marital aids through the mail, and then paying for the unwanted gifts with their credit cards. Mario Banuingo was taken into custody after allegedly using his old Flames Discovery account to buy lingerie, movies, and a subscription to adult magazine. That same month, he used her credit account to pay for a blow-up doll, which she then sent along with previous purchases to the woman's home in Staten Island. 2 months ago, after a year of inactivity, he began using a different credit card to send his ex some gifts, including skin cream touted for its ability to remove wrinkles.
It seems like that might not be the way to win the heart of your former beloved, is to send her a blow-up doll and something that says, get rid of your wrinkles and I might take you back.
80s pop artists George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley will reunite as Wham.
Fantastic. We predicted this. As soon as he started passing out at the wheel, we said that this would happen.
This is a special Christmas concert. It's part of Michael's solo world tour. George is thrilled that Andrew's agreed to perform, says a source from Britain's Sunday Mirror. It is something George Michael has wanted for a long, long time. He couldn't be happier and can't wait for the gig.
Okay.
Michael often squashed rumors of a potential reunion in the past due to Ridgeley's refusal to participate. Ridgeley and Michael have not performed together since Wham! Staged his final concert at Wembley back in 1986. While Michael has gone out on a successful solo career, along with some recent highly publicized run-ins with the law, Ridgeley has stayed out of the public eye and the music industry as well.
Wait, so now this is this just a one-time gig?
This
or
is a one-time gig.
See, but you know it's a test balloon because you know it's going to do fantastically well, mm-hmm. and then they'll do the whole tour. Let's do one more, and then we'll, I think we got Chuck back. It looks like his phone broke up on us.
A lot of American parents seem to think that they don't have to worry about saving for their children's college educations because the kids will get through on scholarships and grants. Think again, says a study that just came out. It looked at college savings habits and goals of parents with children under 18 and comparing them with college financial aid administrators, what they have to say about college funding. The study finds that 87% of parents believe scholarships and grants will cover at least part of the children's undergraduate expenses, and nearly three-quarters think their children are special or unique.
No.
Neither is true.
No.
Financial aid administrators say 92% of parents overestimate the amount of scholarship that their children will receive.
All right. Let's see. Is this Chuck?
Yep.
All right, you're back. All right, Chuck. So here's the way we're going to do this. Because I do realize that I have a rather specialized and hyper-developed sense of pop culture awareness.
That's the volume talking, Rick.
I like him.
Do you really want to start issuing threats, my friend? Because I was gonna try
to... It wasn't a threat. I was just making an observation.
All right, so here's how we'll do it. Here's how we will do it for these Al Gore tickets. Now, for you to score these Al Gore tickets, you need only get one question correct. For you to lose, I must get three in a row correct. Are we clear on this?
No, sounds good.
So if I get three in a row correct, game over, Rick wins. If you manage to get even one correct, you will win the Al Gore tickets. That's how
all
confident
right.
I am.
Somebody thinks highly of himself.
Well, that's how, that is, I did not look at the answers, you son of a bitch. I'm not, Scotty, I'm not hallucinating. I have not looked at the questions, I have not looked at the answers. All right, are we ready? All right, Tim Riley, please now to be administrating the quiz.
What famous actor played an elf in the Lord of the Rings films and is featured alongside Johnny Depp in the Pirates of the Caribbean
Rick.
Films?
Orlando Bloom.
Correct. What U.S. state does pop star Britney Spears hail from?
Rick.
Yes.
Louisiana.
Correct. Then the popular television series set on Listeria Lane that
Rick.
Featured...
Yes. Desperate Housewives.
You win the tickets.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck. Yeah, where is your god now?
Such a
okay, Prince Valium, thanks a lot.
Prince Valium. All right, let's do...
Fine, let me go against you.
Hold on, let's... Justin?
Yes.
All right, well, okay, well, hold on a second. So, now, Justin is here as a backup player. Now, here's the thing, Justin. You can either compete yourself or you can have Sarah compete in your stead. Same rules. I have to get three for you to lose. But, you know, either you or Sarah only has to get one to win.
Ooh, can we compete as a team?
Yeah.
Judges?
Sure.
All right, fine. I will take on both of you. Okay, so here's the thing. You slash Sarah only need to get one correct to win. I must get three to knock you out of the box,
three
all right?
Three in a row.
Okay?
All right, sir, I'm counting on you, girl. Don't
okay.
All right, if
I'll
you know
try.
The answer, you just say your name. Tim Riley, please now to be administering the test.
Name the rock band whose hits include Losing My Religion.
Rick.
Sarah.
Yes?
I have two syllables,
that was
and
me.
You have one.
It was R.E.M. I totally had, that was me. I
oh,
totally
whatever.
Had that.
What actress starred in the films Kill Bill and
Sarah.
Pulp Fiction?
Oh.
Uma Thurman.
Oh! All right, ladies
that's
and gentlemen.
Tiebreaker.
Well, no, because that's the thing, is because she only had to get one right.
Oh. I'll get
that
three.
Was,
that
was, you, oh, you, okay, no, Sarah's continuing to talk big. You want to make it best of three?
I know I'm going to lose, but yeah.
All right, fine.
Sure.
Okay. What horror film begins with actress Drew Barrymore?
Sarah.
Being, yes.
Scream.
That's correct.
Oh, come on! I was going to say Firestarter.
After
oh.
her character fails to correctly answer a series of horror movie
okay,
trivia
fine.
Questions.
Fine. There you go. All right, Justin, you sort of won a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming presentation, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Have fun, Justin.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and Scotty will get your information.
I'm sorry, your head was just getting a little too big. You were starting to get a little crazy.
It's because I haven't put on my ice today.
I know.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Tim Riley.
There you go.
There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. No, we should continue it this way. That's
okay.
How we should do it. Now, we got a pair of these each day this week. Every day this week, we will give away a pair of tickets to the Al Gore Global Warming Presentation. And we'll continue to do it in this fashion.
And by the way, I did not look at those when you gave them
and
to me.
And you know, I'm going
to
bring in tomorrow, I'm going to bring in my actual Trivial Pursuit Pop Culture Edition.
I am so bad at that game.
Well, you know, the thing is, I have it, but I've only ever played it literally once, so I actually haven't ever even seen, I've never seen like 99.9% of the questions.
See, yeah, our way of what we call pop culture, I think, is different than the Trivial Pursuits. Because we know a bunch of, like, really worthless stuff.
Right. Well, I suppose. But
let's do it.
But so I will actually bring that in tomorrow. But, Scotty, you got to make sure that we do it in different hours tomorrow. Because I did that thing again. It's my fault of pushing everything until the final hour. Scotty, if you want to get a hold of Peter Carlin, we'll bring on Kristen from accounting here, talk a little bit about Storm, and then we'll talk to Peter Carlin for a few when we get back. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Kristen from accounting. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. A banner weekend.
For everyone.
Yay. Was it a good ending to it last night?
Well, it was okay.
Did you attend?
Didn't have fun at the Barfly.
Did you attend the Barfly Awards?
The Barfly party was fantastic. Yes.
Yeah, I sent Jen a text message last night at like 8:45, and it was something like, you know, just drove on drugs, can't drive car, staying home, sorry, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Sarah knows, there was a little personal issue going on behind the scenes, so I wasn't that excited about being there. But
You can't just say that and not fill us in.
Having to do with somebody I formerly dated showing up with some hoe.
After he told her, he's like, oh, are you going to be there?
Oh.
Well, he texted me on Saturday night, and, you know, because Cleveland was playing at Dante's Saturday night.
Right.
So I'm there, of course, I'm there to see Cleveland, my favorite band. And he shows up, I walk over there to say hello to him, and there's a chick sitting next to him with her hand in his crotch. So
can I ask, was this the guy that we thought was such a nice guy? That we were like, hey, she's dating a nice guy who's not psycho for once.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
The guy that you brought to Bigger Than Jesus.
And then he dumped you via email.
He dumped me via email.
What?
And I was foolish
enough. Screw that guy. No, seriously.
I'm just not impressed with him, Kristen. I mean, no offense. I know he listens.
No, that was just weird. The dumping via email was weird.
It was very weird.
Yeah,
and at that point, I shouldn't have had anything to do with him. But then, you know.
Baby, you're so much better than him. Baby, you're fine. You don't deserve that.
Thank you all for the support. It means a lot to me. But the party was great, and my favorite stripper, of course, won sexiest stripper. So
now,
I'm very excited.
Good. Can I just ask you this question? And look, we're all adults. We can speak as men, figuratively speaking here. We can speak as grown-ups.
Yes.
I mean, have you given thought to the fact that maybe you really are just meant to be a lesbian? And I don't mean that. I only say that because you seem to, you often pick men who treat you poorly, you know? You pick men who maybe do not...
notice that, too.
Do not treat you the way you deserve to be treated.
Yeah.
You say things a lot like, my favorite stripper.
Well,
there's several photos in my possession of you kissing other women.
But that's only at your parties.
I tried to convince my mom for years to become a lesbian. And I know that sounds weird, but it's the same thing. My mom picking the wrong guys, and just had a lot of close female friends. And I kept saying, like, Mom, I'm like, maybe you're just, I know you have this Jesus thing, but maybe you're meant to be going another way. Maybe it'd work out better. And she just wouldn't hear it. And I think she might have had a few more successes in her life if she'd maybe just opened her mind a little bit.
I like men too much, though.
Yeah.
I like the equipment on men. So I'm not.
Like the Wenatchee banana?
Exactly.
Yeah. Bam!
But, you know, what girl doesn't like to appreciate another woman who has, you know, some of those charms that she doesn't herself possess, you know?
And by charms that you... What are we talking about?
Well, you know, strippers who feel comfortable taking off their clothes in front of people dance.
Well, you know, that's a thing that chicks find. What I've noticed is that chicks find, how do I put this? Chicks find other girls who are comfortable with themselves to be attractive.
Yeah.
Girls are turned on by confidence in other girls. That's why Storm has the power to turn women gay.
And speaking of Storm, it was a fantastic evening on Friday night.
I heard it was a great show, great time by everybody. Wish I could have been there, but it was, fan-freaking-tastic.
It was. I got to see her before the show. And she was feeling great, and it was just an
excellent,
fantastic performance. And everybody,
cool.
The crowd was really, really, really receptive, of course, because this is the first time she's played, blah, blah. But, yeah, it was great. She was on it. The band was on it. They even had Kurt, who played guitar on the original ladylike.
Yeah.
He was there playing that night.
That is very cool. And I know that at some point later on in the month, they're going to release that Dave Navarro version of it. Too,
yeah.
So it's all very
but,
cool.
Yeah, the whole night was just fantastic. Right. And then Sarah was a little too drunk to go to the after party, but the after party was great, too.
Yeah, Sarah was, as Paul Halama would say, was hating it this morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a long weekend.
It was a long weekend. I'm ready to take some days off.
All right.
You and me both.
All right, Kristen. Well, thank you. We're going to go grab our friend Peter Carlin here. We will talk to you very soon.
And thank you for your suggestions. I appreciate
that. It's what I do. If I find any hot female candidates, I'll send them your way.
Okay, please don't.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Hello, sir.
Hey.
How are you, my friend?
Okay.
So let's talk about a couple of things. Sorry, I know you're on hold there having to listen to my musings. And I'm a little druggy today, so if I sound slightly less lucid than I might otherwise, that's
why. Druggy?
I'm a little druggy. I have what is the word that I'm looking for? I'm burning through the remnants of some Valium that I had ingested earlier, so it's, the vestige.
Were you freaking out?
I was having a bad trip.
Yeah.
They were having to talk me down.
Were you really, you're having one of those hissy fits?
No, yes, I was,
The diva things that you do?
No, I don't do diva things.
It was like the staffers, you've like expressly left instructions that the staffers are not to look you in the eye, and somebody did.
Like on the set of Roseanne, I just call everybody like number five.
Yeah.
Look at the floor! Yeah, and they're only allowed to call me either the talent or Miss Ross.
Yeah, you know, you're sort of like a, God, what's his name?
Hugh Hefner.
This would have been so funny. No, you know, that gay guy from American Idol who's, like, not gay.
Simon Cowell?
No. No, the one who isn't gay, but actually
Clay Aiken.
Gay. Clay Aiken.
In what way am I like Clay Aiken again?
Because he has panic attacks, too.
This whole conversation has gone wrong so quickly.
And he has a fabulous head of hair like you will soon.
My head of hair is going to be normal again in like 3 weeks. So
what happened to your hair?
Well, that was the thing. I was in Seattle this weekend. I am not ashamed.
Sure you're not.
I'm not. I'm on the radio talking about it. I was in Seattle this weekend having my hair medically restored, Peter Carlin.
Say what? What's the matter with your hair?
It was gone. It was leaving me. It was vanishing, brother.
Dude, you're on the radio, though. Nobody cares about your hair.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to see me every day. I have never made any bones about this, that I have said since I hit my, I don't know, the early to mid-20s, I have said for a long time that when the time came, when the hair began to thin, that I was going to do whatever it took. I am totally unashamed about this, that I was going to take steps to restore a full head of hair.
I would never have known. I've seen you, too.
Yeah, but that's because you don't see me like... You'll notice if, like, I have to bend over to tie my shoe or something.
Mm.
Like, it's like I didn't realize it either until I was in a casino and I was walking underneath a security camera and happened to catch a glimpse of myself from above on a monitor.
Uh-huh.
And boy, that was just like, it was like acres and acres of emasculating clear-cut scalp. All bad.
I think you're overreacting, my friend, but I guess it's too late. The cow has left the barn.
The cow has...
What'd they do? Did they jackhammer plugs into the top of your head?
It's actually, if you'd like, Peter, we can meet and talk about it at some point, and I'll be happy to give you all the details.
Saying we're not talking about it here and now?
No, it's, if you really want, I can talk about it now.
Let's talk about me.
I was just going to say, but you got something to plug. You got your, speaking of plugs.
good say.
And by the way, I'm within striking distance here finishing the Brian Wilson book. And I probably would have finished it this weekend had I not lost the ability to focus on, like, individual... Like, I lost the ability to operate the remote control this weekend, much less read words on a page.
So, like, when you aerate your lawn, you get one of those things and it just drills holes into the surface? Is that what happened?
I suppose, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. No, seriously, the next time we talk, I'll give you the blow-by-blow. It is pretty fascinating. I am a big fan of science, medical technology, American ingenuity, and know-how. And you know what? We've reached the point where you just don't, if you're going bald, you just don't have to be that way anymore. We have passed the point where that has to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, as they said on the $6 Million Man, we have the technology.
You used to be rocking that shoulder-length hair. You had more hair than any six people that I...
Dude, I mean, and that's the thing is, and you never, look, I mean, to say, to me, you know, the obvious understatement, you never appreciate that while it's there. You never, I was seeing a picture of myself the other day when I was in Vegas. I was about 22. It's standing in front of the Hard Rock Hotel, like Ramon's t-shirt, whatever, and just like this long, my hair actually used to be so thick. My mom, when we were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. So my mom would cut our hair, you know, we'd get our haircuts at home. And my hair was actually so thick, it would actually stop the clippers sometimes. It was so thick that my mom could not cut it with the, like the Sears Roebuck clippers.
Every and revelation you have takes place in Las Vegas.
It's, well, that's where all good things and all bad things come from.
If you lived there, you would be the wisest man on earth.
This whole, is it because I'm still stoned? This whole show is like one series of Zen koans here. It's like one in the tree of the hollow forest with the trunk of the elephant and the mosquito that flies at night. The one-eyed man shall rise above like a holy pancake. It's just a whole bunch of things that don't make any sense, but they all sound really profound.
I'm digging it.
Hey, are you? But you're at Borders this week.
Yes, Thursday at 7 o'clock.
And now are you, is this, you're reading from Catch a Wave and then doing like a Q&A or?
No, I'm doing a whole themed thing. Well, yes, and kind of yes, but mostly it's like I'm going to do this whole Pet Sounds Good Vibrations thing. So it's going to be like all about sort of the deeper meaning and significance of those two particular works, which are both celebrating their 40th anniversaries this fall.
You know, Good Vibrations, we played on the show before. We did a top five one time, the top five Beach Boys songs of all time. Yeah. And the thing about Good Vibrations is, it's sort of like when you hear, I think, probably Hendrix. And I'm not a huge Hendrix fan, but I always say that I wish I'd been around to hear it the first time. You know what I mean? To hear it without all the, to hear it not wrapped. Because I've never known a world without feedback. I've never known a world without distortion, without the, whatever, the wah-wah pedal, the blah, blah, blah. You listen to Good Vibrations, and if you can get some distance from it, and really just separate it from all the Sunkist commercials and all the overplaying and all the crap, that is really just one of the most astounding things ever recorded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. It is just a little, it's a pocket opera. It is just a little miniature opera. It is in whatever, like what, 4 minutes, something like that.
3 minutes and 35 seconds.
Nerd. It really is just, it is, if, even without the aid of chemicals, I think, if you could just step back and really listen to Good Vibration for the multi-movement symphonic construction that it is a staggering creation. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I am not the, I'm not as big a fetishist of Pet Sounds as some people are, but there are moments on that that are just transcendent too, that are just unlike anything that was ever recorded or that has been recorded since.
Yep.
Are you going to be playing sections of this or just talking about it?
Yes.
So that is, and that is with the Borders downtown?
Yep.
And it's Thursday, what time?
7 o'clock.
Thursday, I will be there, my friend. Oh, wait, or will I? No, I will. I'll make it. That's, I got this hideous bachelor party to go. I shouldn't say hideous.
Hideous.
It's a bad, no, it's just, it's not hideous. It's just that I think it involves, girls of some kind.
Can I come?
And you know, sure. And you know what? There's nothing that turns girls on like having a big bandaged head. So, really having
a, like a mummy now?
Having a recently worked on scalp, that's the thing that really gets you to play.
I bet you all scabby, huh?
Is that like some hip-hop slang?
Yeah, probably.
Seriously, is that like, oh, no, you got to leave that girl alone, dog. She's scabby. And that, like, means, you know, and, but it would mean have some total, they would have some other total meaning to it. I'm sorry, I'm so loopy today.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of cool.
We'll talk, we should try to talk again later on this week, and I can actually ask you television questions.
Yeah, like on Thursday morning.
Let's talk.
Thursday at some point.
Seriously, let's talk.
Type, you know.
Let's talk
in real time.
Let's talk Thursday. We'll hype the Borders thing, and I actually do have some TV questions to ask you, but we'll do it Thursday.
Okay.
All right, Thursday, my friend. Until then. There you go, Peter Carlin, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm down.
All right. Thank you. He's scabby. He's Peter. He ain't scabby. He's my brother. All right. Sir Rick Emerson Show back after this. This is the Rick Emerson radio program concluding at 3:06 with Tom Likas. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. creepiest part of this song is that the implication that he somehow finds her hotter because she's a mother.
Well, yeah, that's what the song's about.
I'm just saying, well, no, because there's the I love you in spite of, and then there's the I love you because of. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a mom. But I'm saying there's one thing if you're saying, like, well, look, you know, we're all, you know, we all get older, we all, you know, things change, bodies don't stay the same, but you're still sexy. That's not really what he's saying here. He's saying a whole lot of, I think it's sexy. I find your baby flab to be a gigantic turn on. Oh, and that line about this, and that line in the beginning about how the kids are asleep in the next room, that ain't right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
Well, I thought I'd call in and let you know this is the best show ever, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate the lie. I appreciate the lie to shield my ego.
We didn't hear anything about the Mexican Elvis.
That's not true. Freddie Fender was the Mexican Elvis.
Excuse me. I had that because it was the same thing as Spot.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Chris. Okay.
Stop what?
No, that's my fault. I should have clarified that, though. Yeah, the Mexican Elvis is Freddie Fender, so there you go.
Okay, you got that useless holiday?
No, I didn't get to that. Today is Boss's Day. Because, you know, your boss really needs a holiday. He needs something set aside because they just don't get enough in this world. So, no, that's my fault. I failed to talk about that. You're right.
A boss, Rick.
Yes.
Democracy on the March?
Democracy on the March? Yeah, no, sir.
Of course what?
No, not that either.
That's free.
Okay, so there you go. Well, let's just say, I mean, really, you know, in my weakened and medicated state today, it is pretty impressive that I even got three done.
Yeah, you know, I think what we need to do is, because Tim seems to be getting a short shrift here, I think we need to make it one if you miss, like, a story, but make it three push-ups if you miss one of Sorry.
If I miss, so the penalty ought to actually be increased if I miss something that is supposed to be Tim.
Right. If we miss like the court plot, it gives that way it ensures that Tim's going to get his full time.
That is a really good idea.
That is a fair point. That is a fair point because it does seem like the watchers are one of those things that we do. They do get sort of left behind occasionally. So no, that is a completely fair and accurate assessment of the situation, my friend.
And I have a pith helmet if you want to wear that.
The other thing is, so Sarah and I are going out today. So this afternoon, we're meeting up this evening because I've got a whole variety of hats. Like I said, I'm wearing a hat from the low today. I got a Dry County Crooks hat, which is great, but I can't wear because it's like, again, the trucker hat is not going to work because then anybody behind me will get this. Oh, and this is the thing I forgot to mention. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier or not. It's so hard to tell with the drugs. Is that because I had, relatively speaking, I had kind of a decent amount of hair, and it was kind of long, that, you know, as the guy described it, he's like, you can't put in a sprinkler system, you know, if the lawn's covered with weeds, or some analogy. So they actually had to, like, really cut my hair closely. So not only do I have the bad scalp, it's
like... You have, like, a monk haircut?
No, it's like the full-on, like, worst crew cut ever. It's like a really, really close crew cut. Seriously, I have, like, the Marine buzz cut. I have, like, Chris's hair, basically.
Hey, now.
No, because you ever like a buzz cut, but like
your hair... No, he doesn't. He has a shaved head.
It's not completely shaved, though.
You just said worst haircut ever.
Well, I mean,
he has a completely shaved head.
I'm saying it's worse. I'm saying it's the worst haircut ever on me because it's coupled with the fact that I've got all the surgery marks, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with the haircut itself. I'm saying you don't want to have that haircut right after you've had a guy like, you know, like poking at your head with a pointy thing. So I've got basically your haircut, but imagine your haircut after a guy giving you like brain surgery for 12 hours or something. That's except brain surgery all over the top of your head. That's kind of what it looks like.
Nice.
At least we're not in the lunch hour. So, anyway, yeah, so that's the other reason I can't wear that.
Are we
going
to talk about the hair again tomorrow? I don't think I can handle it.
I got to wear this hat for like a week and a half.
I know, but you're talking about surgery and your head being scabby. It's just really gross.
But you know what? But it's all going to pan out in the end. It's all going to be pan out in the end when...
So real quick, what time
was swarthy
Ground
once
Zero?
Again. I'm sorry?
Ground Zero Lounge tonight?
8 p.m. 8 p.m. Ground Zero Lounge featuring Scott Daly and Aaron Geek in the City Duran, my friend.
Excellent. Right. Hey, and side note for any geeks out there, if you're a fan of the Mortal Kombat series, the new Mortal Kombat game came out. I just got it. It is fantastic.
It came out today, really?
No, it came out like 5-6 days ago.
Excellent.
But every character that's ever been in any Mortal Kombat game is a playable character in this game.
Fantastic. I'll talk about it tomorrow then. All right. Thank you, man.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondent for now, Gary Baumgarten. I want to thank Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, and Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Also, Clyde Lewis. Catch him off the Ground Zero Lounge tonight at 8 p.m. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Scotty J's the PA manager of the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. Like us next. Don't let the bastards grind it on CL tomorrow at 11. Thanks for listening. Bye.